Now let's open our Bibles as we do to John 3:16 and let's read that together. And I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, a couple of thoughts here. I like reading this particular prophetic word that was given. This was given about a year and a half ago. It was given by our intercessor here at the ministry, Gladys Brooks. And you know, it's important to feed upon these because it reminds us of what God's will is. This was a prophetic utterance. It said, "Don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it." Now, when you're speaking to mountains, don't nurse it means making friends with your mountain. You know, you nurse things. You know, sometimes we do. You're holding on to things. So you're making friends with something. You're nursing it. You're meditating on it. Rehearsing is talking about it. So you just keep talking about it. You're rehearsing it. See, he said disperse it. That means speak to it. In what? In faith. And I'll reverse it. That's the God kind of faith. Will take care of the mountain. So we're not to nurse things. We're not to rehearse things. We're to speak to things. We're to speak to things. Speak to what? Obstacles and things in our lives. And the God kind of faith, which every person here who's born again has a measure of. Amen. We don't have to pray to God for faith. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. His kind of faith, the God kind of faith, the mountain moving kind of faith that will change things in your life if you believe it. See, just because you say something doesn't mean something's going to change. A lot of people say things. You know, you hear this said, and just people say this, this person said it so long they began to believe it. Everybody heard that? So that means that at some point they began to believe what they were saying. How much more about us? So that means we can say the word of God until what? We believe it. We may not start out believing, but we can say it until we believe it. So your confession opens the door to faith. So you may not start out in faith, because some folks will say, "Well, I ain't going to say that. I don't believe it." Good gracious, the world does that. The world says things until they believe it. And it comes to pass. So start saying it even if you don't believe it. And then the believing will come. Amen? I mean, I've been doing that for years. I may not believe something, but I'm going to say it. Just why? Because God said so. If God says I'm healed, I'm going to say it until the believing comes. And when the believing comes, bang, change. Got to go. I remember when I didn't have two nickels put together, I said, "I have this and this and this and this." And my head said, "You're crazy. You'll never have that." I'm living in it. And I have it. And he made it come to pass. So the possession followed my confession. See, You got to confess before you possess. Start saying it when you don't have it. Because if God promised it, I can have it. You know, some folks say, well, you know, I'm just confessing things. I'm making God do something. You can't make God do anything. He's God. He's given it to us. How about we just take him up on it and receive it? Amen? Hallelujah. So one of the things, let's turn over. Today I want to look at and spend a few minutes. There's a couple of things I'd like to look at. But I want to look a little bit. How many were here on Wednesday? Some of you here on Wednesday, a few of you were. I want to look quickly, go to Hebrews 11:1. Hold your finger there. Look that verse up, and then I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at that. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Ah, there it is. I'm on the wrong thing. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 18. Then we're going to jump to Hebrews 11:1. And I want to look at it in this sequence. We having the same spirit of faith. So those that are born again, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I'm going to read from a few other translations. This is the good news. It says, the scripture says, I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. This is the Knox translation, K-N-O-X. I spoke my mind. You know, a lot of us, we speak our mind. But it's what's in your mind. It ought to be the word of God and in your heart. But this says, I speak my mind, says the scripture, with full confidence. And we too speak our minds with full confidence. See, it's with full confidence. That's what's talking about faith. I believed, and therefore I spoke. Or speak. And so it's important that when you believe, you speak. Amen. Speak in faith. Now, let's go to verse 18. And you're familiar with this. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. So what are we supposed to look at? What are we supposed to look at? The things that are not seen, not the things that we see. So that means that when you got a mountain facing you, what are you supposed to look at? You gazing at the mountain, or are you gazing at the promises of God? What is it that you... Right. What he promised. This is the New Living Translation. It says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. That's a mountain. This is 2 Corinthians 4:18. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. So we're supposed to look at the what? The unseen. And so often when folks face issues, it begins to attack at what? The mind. Begins to hit the mind. You know, all of the pressures of life, physical pain. That's why pain is so insidious. Pain begins to work at the mind and the flesh and the soul and the emotions. So do outside pressures. They begin to work. And you begin to say, I know this just isn't working. But we're supposed to look at not the troubles of life, but we're to look at the things unseen, which are what? And the King James says, which are eternal. And so those things that are unseen are what we're supposed to keep our fix, our gaze upon. And so faith moves towards what? The unseen. Faith begins to move towards those things that we can't see. Not the things that are facing us, not the things we can see. We don't fix our gaze on that. And so those are the kind of things that are important as far as where you are. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:1. And I wanted to just kind of put those there. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1, familiar scripture verse. But today what I wanted to do is take a few moments, read this from a couple of different translations, which helps to bring some insight here. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the what? The evidence of things not seen. So faith, primarily, you can see, is dealing with things what? Not seen. Things we don't see. Things we don't have in our hands. Stuff that we don't have. Things that we desire. Listen to this. I'm going to read some translations because I tell you, I love reading from various translations. And they're available. This is the Living Bible. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. Oh boy. Even though we cannot see it up ahead. It's that kind of certainty. That's faith. Faith is convinced and certain that what I don't see up ahead is there. So when God promises something, I'm going to move out in faith and embrace and take something even though I don't see it up ahead. God has promised it. Or he's given me some specific instructions about something. And he said, it's yours. Even though you don't have it, even though you don't own it at this point, it's already yours. You take it by faith. This is the Voice translation. Faith is the assurance of things we have hoped for, the absolute conviction. There are realities you've never seen. So those realities you've never seen, you take them by faith. Amen. Something that you don't have, something that God has promised. This is the Berkeley translation, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. See, and it's important, when I keep the various translations talk about unseen realities, that's the evidence of something unseen. And when you look at the various words that are used in the King James, when it talks about faith is the substance, well, substance to me means it has some tangibility to it. You can touch it, feel it, it's real, it's tangible. So something that has substance has, if it's tangible, that means it has reality. Amen. And if you look at this, The word substance in the Greek, one of the definitions is that which has actual existence. Hypostasis, that word means that which, one of the definitions is that which has actual existence. So it says, now faith is the substance. Faith is something that has actual existence. Where does that have existence? On the inside. See? And that's why when your head is saying one thing, the actual existence of faith on the inside can say, I have that. I don't see it. My mind says something else, but I know I've got it. That reality, that actual existence lives on the inside of me. That's why we can say I'm a new creature in Christ. How do I know that? I just know it.
Hallelujah.
That faith has actual existence on the inside. I know I'm different. I know I'm changed. So that reality, we've all experienced that. To a measure, to a degree. And we know faith grows. So we can grow in that, what I would call that reality on the inside, can we not? And we can grow in that. How does that grow? By feeding on the Word of God. And so as we grow in faith, man, I'll tell you, things that seemed impossible, now all of a sudden you just take it. That's mine.
Amen.
You struggled before, but not anymore.
Amen.
Now that's mine. I take that. Yes. By what? Faith.
Yes.
Before you might have said, well, you know, I don't know. I got these allergies. They seem to surface every now and then. You know, and I struggle with allergies. You keep saying that, and you will, for the rest of your life. But you keep saying it while you're walking through it, and one day you'll get up and go, geez, I don't even remember the last time I had this problem. It just went away. You know, people struggle with things. They struggle with cigarettes, they struggle with alcohol, they struggle with different kinds of emotional things. People struggle with immorality or pornography, all the various things of life that people struggle with. And I've said this I don't know how many times. While you're walking through the struggle, you know, God already knows you're struggling with it. He's not bothered by it. It don't bother him, but he's given you a way out. He's already given you the way out, and it's in your mouth. If you keep saying, I'm struggling with this, then you're going to struggle with it. But your deliverance is right here in your mouth. While you're smoking, while you're drinking, while a person is struggling with whatever it is, you say with your mouth, I'm delivered from this. I'm delivered from cigarettes. Why? You're puffing. And somebody will say, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it does. While you're buying the cigarettes, every time you buy them and pick them up, you say, I'm delivered from this in Jesus' name. You just keep saying it. Because as you confess it, some way or another, some point in time, faith will come, and you'll go, geez, I can't do that anymore. Man, I can't. Bleh. Faith comes. Faith comes. And the struggles that your flesh has gone through, they just fall off. And then you truly become, and you begin to walk as a new man or woman of God. See? That's where faith goes. Faith walks towards, moves towards the unseen. See, you're struggling with something. You don't. It's a scene. You all desire to the unseen. I want to be delivered from this. I want freedom from this. The power of God has broken the power of the devil over your life. And we can walk in freedom. We just have to say it. We need to confess what he's already done. Amen. So let's look at, here's another translation. This is called the Jordan translation. Now this is not the Michael Jordan translation. This is the Jordan translation. I thought I'd say it that way to see if everybody's awake. You're awake. Okay. This says, now faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities. Woo! Man, I tell you. You want to read that again? All right. This is the Jordan translation. This says, now faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities. That's faith. Faith is betting your life. See, now we don't bet, but this translation is saying betting your life. You've put all of your faith and trust in God, in something that's unseen. Knowing that God is not a man that he will lie, and he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. And the Fenton translation, this is another one, this says the conviction of unseen facts. We have a conviction of unseen facts. See. Now, one of the things, when you read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. See, whenever we say evidence, you know, anybody who's a lawyer or works in police or who's in law enforcement, if I have evidence, I have what? Proof. If I have evidence of something, I got you. I got you now. I got proof that you did it. Well, what's supposed to be a proof of things hoped for? Yeah. Faith, whose faith? Your faith is supposed to be the proof, the evidence of something that you don't see. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Sometimes we talk long enough, we can see what proof we have. You're talking about it. Not the unseen, but the seen. See? And sometimes, and I include myself sometimes with that, we talk and sometimes we get over it and say, whoops, I'm talking about stuff I see. Not what I hope for, not what I desire. I'm talking about circumstances. And we need not to. We need to talk about what? The unseen. Now, let's take a few minutes and let's go over to Hebrews 11. And this, I tell you, you know, if you just go to Hebrews 11, this great faith chapter. And let's go over here for a moment, look at some examples of moving by faith towards the unseen. Like I said, God, this is a season where God's asking us to make some adjustments. And as you're turning there, I'm going to ask the folks in the sound booth to just get that sound bite that I have ready here, and we can play this. And you get to Hebrews 7, and I'll set this sound bite up here. This was at the 10th anniversary. Some of you have heard this. Some of you who are new haven't heard this. It bears repeating. Because faith comes by hearing. Sometimes we don't get it the first time we hear it, and we need to hear it and hear it. But this was on the 10th anniversary here at this church in 1990. This was Dr. Frederick Price. He was a guest speaker, and he was sharing something, and he started to, right in the middle of his message, He was sharing an example, and then he spoke in tongues, and then this, and I'm going to have them play this, this was the interpretation of that to this ministry, and they can play this.
I know you love this place. I know you thought you have arrived, some of you. You're ready to sit back now and just enjoy things. You're ready to sit back, kick your feet up, and just enjoy the beautiful music, and just enjoy the Lord, and just praise His name, and sing, and dance, and shout. I know you thought you were going to have a time of relaxation, a time of just sitting back on your laurels, a time of saying, well, praise God, we've come this far by faith, and we're just going to sit back now and just float on in, and the Lord is going to continue to bring people to us, and we're going to continue to minister to the needs of people, and they're going to come from far and near, and we're going to see people healed, and we're going to see people saved, and we're going to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see life change, and we're just going to sit here in this beautiful sanctuary and enjoy it all. We're building all these buildings around here and getting them all ready, and we're just going to sit back, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. We've got money in the bank. Money's coming in. Everything is beautiful. But I have news for you. I'm sorry to inform you that you are not coming to a place of rest, saith the Lord, but you are coming to a place of work, saith the Lord. For the day is far spent, and the night is rapidly approaching, and there are many, many, many to be reached. And this is only a gathering place and a place of preparation. You're going to have to walk out of here and leave. This is not going to be big enough for what I want to do, saith the Lord. Now, if you want to go with me, then you prepare yourselves and let go of all of this. Let it go. I know it's beautiful. I made it beautiful through you. But you better let go of these pews, because they're not going to be big enough for what I want to do. And if you want to do what I want you to do, if you're going to continue to follow me as you have followed me up to this point, then you might as well get ready to vacate and put up a sale sign on it, because there are too many things I have for you to do, and this place will not contain it.
That was 1990. September. We had October 20th, 2013. What did the Lord say this morning? I'm bringing the people here and the pews. What did they say this morning? What did the word of the Lord say? The pews here can't hold the people. Didn't they say that? Yes? So God is saying, we're going to walk away from here, not park here. He gave this place to us for a time. But the day is far spent, and His return is close. And there are millions of people looking for God. And God has raised up this ministry to reach and to help people. The hurt, the lost, the sick, the dying, the confused. Those that are sick and tired of church and want to experience a taste of the glory of God. And find out that God truly does love them. That He cares about their every need and want and desire. So that's why at that time, the Lord didn't say anything more. That was it. And Pastor Sarah and Clinton, they were like, man, you got to be kidding. We just moved in here. I'm serious. Pastor Clinton said, man, I was mad at him for that. Man, we just moved in here. We just got here 5 years. We're in this church. He's talking about moving. But God has been revealing He's got another place for us. A bigger place. He said, I'm giving you the mall as a spoil. Right. Well, you see, that'll hold the people that He wants to bring. Amen. And He's raising us up. He's doing what? You see, I think what's important, we move towards the unseen. He's just shown us that, revealed it, but we don't have that. We don't own that yet. Yet. but it's already ours. And so that's what we fix our gaze upon, and our words and our thinking and our minds towards the people that are coming. And God is developing us not to just come to church and have a good time, but He's training us to do what? To help people. And so that's really the function. I know when Pastor Clinton left this earth, went to glory, I know for about 2 weeks, it was very, because I worked with him every day, and in various capacities, more so in the sound and music and productions than other, but I remember for about 2 weeks, you know, my heart was heavy. And, you know, you just go to pick up the phone, and you say, I can't talk to him. And it was in that period of time, I was coming into work one day, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and just like this said, I sent him to train you,
right,
not be your friend.
Amen.
And I said, it went like this, the heaviness went. And he said, no, you were his friend, but that wasn't his purpose.
Amen.
His purpose was to impart, to build up, to train, to develop.
Amen.
And that's our purpose here. We come to church is to be developed so that we can be useful in the body of Christ. And so that's our purpose here. So did you get to Hebrews 11:7?
Yes.
All right. This says what? By faith, what? Noah, being warned of God of things, what? Not seen as yet. Ah. So faith was looking at what? Not things seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The New King James says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And the Amplified says, prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently, reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. So God, divinely, he's been divinely revealing to us, you're not staying here. He also, by Dr. Watson, Bishop Watson, said that we're to have a consecration to seek God during the month of October for His will, for His divine plan. He said, you have 1 year from October 2013 to 2014 to prepare in these various areas of the ministry. He said, if you don't, he said, you will struggle. I don't want to struggle. No, I don't want to struggle. He said, but if you do, he said, it's going to be easy. So we're going to seek God for this year and beginning in this month for His divine will and purpose. And there were various areas of the ministry, the men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, youth, singles or young adults, seniors, the community, reaching out into the community and asking God, What is our part? What are we supposed to do here? Getting His divine plan.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you can see here, Noah did what? He moved for things that he hadn't seen yet. By what? By faith. See. Now when you look at verse 8, so you can go right down, 7, 8. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out doing what? Not knowing whither he went. He went not knowing where he's going. That's what it says in the New King James. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How many been there? You're going out not knowing where you're going, not knowing where your sustenance is coming from, but God directed you and you moved.
Amen.
You just moved by faith.
Yes.
Amen. The Amplified says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance, and he went, although he did not know, and I like this, this is what the Amplified says, or trouble his mind about where he was to go. Some of us trouble our mind about places we're going and things we haven't even seen yet, and God's already said, you got it, go there, and we're trying to figure it out, doing what? Troubling your mind. Just let it go. Go in faith, convinced and knowing it's already done. God's opening the doors. He's called me to this place. So that means everything I need's already done. And that's the truth. Now I like this. Go to verse 11. This is about Sarah. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That word strength is dunamis. She received dunamis power to conceive seed. She received the power of God. She was past her conceiving age to receive a seed and deliver. She was past age of bearing. She received God's supernatural miracle power. That's what dunamis is. She received the power of God to conceive and to give birth. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? And she bare a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And you can jump down to verse 17. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now this is the Good News Translation. It says it was faith that made Abraham offer his son Isaac. What made him offer? Faith. As a sacrifice when God put Abraham to the test. Abraham was the one to whom God had made the promise, yet he was ready to offer his only son as a sacrifice. See, now he did that not knowing, did he? See, now by faith, he said, God's able to raise him up from the dead. But he did it not knowing. He offered up his son not knowing. He did it by what? By faith. Faith does what? Faith does things not knowing. Hallelujah. So he did that not knowing, and it said here, yet Abraham was the one to whom God had made the promise, yet he was ready to offer up his only son as a sacrifice. God had said to him, it is through Isaac that you will have the descendants I promised. Abraham reckoned that God was able to raise Isaac from death, and so to speak, Abraham did receive Isaac back from death. Hallelujah. So this season that we're in, God is calling us to operate in faith at another level. See, we've been operating in faith, but God's saying, come up a little higher. He's given us instructions that to the flesh sometimes are hard on the flesh. It's the not knowing that sometimes works on the mind. But you've got to know in your heart, this was God. And God is well able to sustain me. God is well able to meet all of my needs. God is well able. So I'm going to take a step of faith and go.
Amen.
I'm thinking about Pastor Jesse and Pastor Lakeisha. When they knew it was God, what'd you all do? You obeyed and you moved. They didn't hesitate. They knew it was God. See, now, God, and I'll say it this way, for some assignments, God does not, and I'm not saying it's not impossible, but for some assignments, God will not use a novice. Because with some assignments, it's imperative that you obey. And he won't take a novice who's like, I don't know, I'm not sure. And so you wait a year to figure out if you're going to move. We don't have a year. It had to be now. And sometimes there's lives, there's people, there's situations at stake that require immediate obedience. But with that immediate obedience comes great reward. Great reward. And so we, if we have been working at, I don't know why God has me in this church. I don't know. I don't even like being here. Well, first thing is to obey the fact that he sent you here.
Amen.
And then while you're here, just let him work on that. You just submit, you obey, be willing and obey, and then the things will become plain. You just begin to yield. See? Even in moving, God may send you to another church. You see, now, I'm going to use Pastor Jesse as an example here. See, to the flesh, see, now, he already had a church. He had a church. How would you like it if Pastor Sarah or myself or Pastor Greg came in and said, God has led us to go to another place, we're closing the doors? How would you like that? Would you like that? No. No. See? Nobody here said, yeah. See, the ones that didn't want to be here, they got their hands up. Yeah, I don't want to be here anyways. Thank God. You see? But he had to do that. And it was a challenge. It hurt. Hurt the flesh. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, they had to tell people to go to other churches. They made recommendations, but they closed the door. And they came because God said, okay, he authorized them, close the door, shut it down, and come here. And you may say, well, I don't sound like God. Why would God close a church? I don't know. I can't answer that question. And those things that God doesn't reveal to you, you need to keep your mind off it. Because I believe that's what the scripture says. Those things that he's revealed are those things for you to know. And those things that you don't have things revealed, you need to keep your mind off of. It's none of your business. That's what the scripture says. And so those things that we know, we embrace. But that was a specific instruction given to him. Now, I can tell you because I have it in my iPad, when the Lord spoke to me and said he and his family were coming. There were a few others that were coming. Pastor Judy was coming. And I didn't say anything. Don't need to. And it's not your place to say anyways, unless the Lord tells you to. But it was God's responsibility. He revealed it, but it was his responsibility to tell them so that when they came, they knew that they knew that they knew that they knew that they knew, because I didn't know all of the dynamics of their situation. So if they come here because of you reaching out to them, you can create a big mess. So they had to know from God and get directions from God as to what to do. And so they had to move by faith towards something unseen, because we didn't offer them anything. They just said, hey, we're here. And we said, wonderful. Glad the Lord spoke to you. We didn't offer them anything, didn't say nothing. We just said, well, there's a keyboard. Come on. That's by faith. And I'm telling you, I'm hearing it down here. I've been hearing it for a while, that because of their step of faith, God's going to give them some things that are easy, way out beyond what they could even think or imagine. God's going to do it because of obedience. See? And He wants to do that in everyone, in the level where we're at. See? He's in another place. We're all in different places of faith and instruction from God. But when He gives us something to do, you obey. Because the rewards, what does it say? Without faith, it's impossible. That means, when I see impossible, that means there's no way. You can't get around that. You can't get around it. That means you go, well, maybe. No, it says impossible. That means not possible. You can't please God without faith. It's not possible. You can't water it down, clean it up, spruce it up. You can't. That means when He tells you something, if you see something in the Word of God, you got to move. Faith, the expression of faith is what? Doing something. Once I know, if the light comes and you know that you know, you got to move. You got to do something. If you know something's not right, God shows you. You know, we were taking some management classes, some CEO training, which Pastor Greg and some of the leadership here have been a part of. And this particular person, I'll use his name, Dr. Dean Radke, at the time he was working for the Limited Stores. They own all kinds of stores, big conglomerate. He was at the top of the chain. He was reporting to the CEO. He only needed about 2 years to be vested. He had $7 million worth of stocks and things that were his because of where he was in the company. And the Lord said to him, you have to leave this company and leave that. Because what they're doing is not moral. And He said the things that they're getting over into is promiscuous. And He said you cannot be a part of that as an executive to build and promote that. He said you have to walk away from it. And he said, Lord, hello, is that you? But he said he knew it was God, and he walked away, not knowing. But he obeyed, and he started this company called Ministry Institute, where God began to take all of his years of experience as an executive, working in the Navy, working at Avon, working at the Limited, taking all of these years and years and years of executive training, started something and began to develop that, and God began to support it. And through the years, he was charging, but then the Lord said, well, where are all the people that can't afford this? And he said, well, they're not here. He said, exactly. And the Lord said, I want you to give it away now and be supported by free will offerings. Now, that's a step of faith. So here God directed him out of one thing, and now that was a big step for him. Now he's saying, okay, give it away. And so we did, and he's been doing it over 16 years. He's trained over 80,000. But the point is, God is going to ask us to do some things that when we know it's God, whatever it is, you've got to obey and move towards that which you don't see. But you know that by faith, I'm going to take hold of this. Faith is what? Faith is the substance. Something that has substance has actual existence, real existence. So my faith in God has actual real existence. Where? On the inside of me. And as that faith, what does that do? It affects my mind, affects my soul, and thus begins to direct my thinking, my body, all my actions are in line with my heart. So it's important in these seasons that we're in, God is going to tell us to do some things that we can't see. There's no evidence of it. But you know. See, I know like my own name. I said it through the years to Pastor Clinton. I heard the Holy Ghost say the singers and musicians will come, not because this is a great musical church, but this is a great spiritual church. And I also heard the Holy Ghost say in that what he said, great spiritual music comes out of a great spiritual church. So God, and I used to say this for years, I'd say it to the people in the sound area. I said, folks, don't get comfortable. Don't get complacent because they're coming. And you're going to look up and they're going to be here. What you going to do? Don't get complacent. And so, and this is the start. I'm talking about singers and musicians. This is the start. Because one group of people can't do it all. One pastor can't do it all. Three pastors can't do it all. It takes people to help support. And so God is going to bring others to help. And so God, in this season, we're to do what? Believe, and therefore speak. And when God gives us something to do, you've heard Pastor Jesse, what he did in his experience. Even when it didn't look like they were going to get this house, what did they do? He felt God promised it. I knew it. In my heart, I said, that's your house. And they began to act like it was. And that's what we have to do. Even when your flesh and your mind is saying something else, you've got to say, that's mine because God promised it to me. Amen. I think that's enough today. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And I'll just say this, He rewards obedience. And I would just say one thing, that if you've been moving along and things sometimes don't seem to appear like they're working and happening, check your obedience. See, if we're in disobedience, that can be like the clog in the pipe, right? That can clog up the free flow of things from God. So sometimes if we're disobedient in an area, you know, we're just being hard-headed. We don't want to yield to God's plan. That can hinder some things. See, God's saying, going this way, and you're going, I won't go there. I won't do that. And that can hinder. But when you yield and you say, yes, Lord, then the blessings flow. Amen. 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 Praise God. You get a little something? Something to think about anyways, right? Something to chew on. something to feed upon. Sometimes, I'll just say this in closing, that sometimes we hear things, but then there's a season we need to go back and hear it again. And we need to listen and feed upon that again, because sometimes, you know how we do, we eat two plates and we're full. And I can't hear anymore. That's it. But then there's a season where God knows you're ready and hungry to hear it again. Feed upon it. There's a time and a season for everything. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. We're going over. Not going under. Every one of us is going over. Going higher. Attaining more. Doing more for God. Growing in our faith exceedingly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this few minutes that we have just to share and to exhort and to reach out. And we thank you, Father, that the word of God will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which you desire. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.